All right, that crazy music means that Craig Miller is online. Are we on phone or are we on some kind of computer thing?
We're on better than phone, but slight delay.
Okay, not the Buyer's Barricade ticket hotline.
Right.
But let's give them some love, shall we?
Hi, Craig.
Oh, that was a rhetorical question. I thought somebody was going to answer me. Hey, Craig. Great to have you on the show. Great to hear you
great
back
to be
in,
on.
In your morning slot. What was it like to have 70 days off in a row?
It was about 16 days off in a row, 17 days, and it was great sleeping in. Although I didn't sleep in that much. You know, we went to Colorado, and so we were in a cabin that had no AC because places at 9,000, 10,000 feet don't have AC. But at night, it got a little stuffy, so we would sleep with the windows open. So when you sleep with the windows open, you've got the curtains or the shades open. So the sun would come up at 6, and that's when we were up. But we were going to bed early every night. So
you were like early
even
man?
6. Yeah, exactly. We were
like a farmer.
Yes, the sun was dictating when we would go to bed and when we would wake up. But it was awesome.
Did you see a bud tender when you were there?
Maybe.
All right. We could have seen one without visiting. He could have just seen
wondering.
One at the store, at the grocery store or something.
Right. They
had you know what I did see on the drive home, and I guess maybe I was alerted to this because perhaps I had seen a bud tender. But there is a never-ending row from the second you get into the state of Texas, basically until you get to Dallas, of billboards, not going up, but only on the way back, of many different attorneys who are asking to represent you if you get busted bringing pot back from Colorado.
Wow.
Man, I feel like we're probably about to have a similar thing with heading south from Oklahoma.
Yep.
I mean, are they medical? Yeah, they are, right? Yeah, I think they are medical.
I think they're medical, but...
Yeah, well, that's, you know, gateway to the recreational.
Being recreational?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Anyway, that's not why we had you on. We have you on the show today because I think you're well aware of the fact that I am a fan of scatter shooting.
I appreciate that.
Love the segment. Make sure I listen to it every week. If I'm not up to listen to it, we will cut off the audio from the logger. So I've probably heard every scatter shooting. I'm a big fan.
That means a lot. Thank you.
And when you were gone and Mino was filling in for the morning show, I said, hey, if you want me to do a scatter shooting, I will. Kind of offered my services. Mm-hmm. Not thinking anything of it. It was like 3 weeks ago. Well, then Mino, a couple days before his last day, which was last Thursday, texted me saying, hey, if you want to do the scatter shooting, I'm up for it. And then I thought, oh, man, the effort that you probably have to do, you know, you're probably always writing down notes for scatter shooting, and then I would imagine assembling them, you know, Thursday or whatever.
Yep.
But it just seems like a lot of work to do scatter shooting. So I was really into it until Mino said, do you want to do it?
It's daunting. Like with Sean and I would fill in, you know, we might still do the e-break, maybe play some fun audio at 8:40, but both of us just kind of said, let's not even try. Let's not even take a crack at this. It'd be a poor facsimile at best.
Well, I did.
It is a lot of work.
I did take a crack at it. Hold on, Bodie. I did try it, and I went on with Mino and Monty last Thursday and did my own scatter shooting. And then just got to thinking about, you know, stuff we were going to do for this week's show and thought, hey, there's a lot of stuff in this scatter shooting I'd like to do with Jake. And then I thought, why don't I just do the scatter shooting again? I mean, who was listening to Mino and Monty? Am I right?
Jeez. Dozens.
Scores.
So, Mino, when I ask for participation during this, I will ask you to step back a little bit because you've already been involved in this scatter shooting. Okay.
Okay.
And who was Ryan there as well? I can't remember.
I think he was. Yes.
But don't
he will distance.
Don't give away any of the answers. But I've changed it a little bit because I had a few things in there just for Mino and Monty, and I've re-edited it and thought we would present it right now, and then Craig, you might be able to give me a grade at the end and see if you enjoyed my imitation of you doing scatter shooting. Okay?
Awesome.
All right, here we go.
And now it's time for Friday morning scatter shooting with your old pal
Dan McDowell,
right here on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310 The Ticket.
And it's brought to you by nobody right now. Scatter shooting while wondering whatever happened to Trident Lakes.
Ah, yes.
The high-end preppers housing community designed for doomsday and promoted heavily by Richie Witt.
Yes. I believe they
the
had
a man who looks into only half the story.
An underground golf course or something like that. I believe actually what happened to it is it got tied up with like the cartel, and I'm not kidding. Untimely demise.
After Cam Newton signed a contract with the Patriots that pays him a base salary of the veteran minimum, some pointed out that veteran journeyman and former Dragon Chase Daniel will make more this year than Newton and Saints quarterback Jameis Winston combined. Another sports salary comparison emerged last Thursday. It was yesterday, so it was last Wednesday, July 1st, commonly known as Bobby Bonilla Day. In the year 2000, the Mets agreed to buy out the remaining $5.9 million on Bonilla's contract. Instead of just paying him that full sum right away, the Mets agreed to make annual payments of $1.19 million starting in 2011 for 25 years. So they pushed ahead their obligation by a decade, but would pay him more. So that means every July 1st since 2011, and up through 2035, Bonilla will receive $1.19 million from the Mets. That is more than Cam Newton's base salary of $1.05 million, and Jameis's $950,000 base salary. And despite the news that broke today, it's also still more than the $850,000 base salary of 2018 NFL MVP and last year's Super Bowl champion Pat Mahomes. Bobby Bonilla will make more than them. He is now 57 years old. The annual $1.19 million payment will continue until he's 72. So that's a good bit.
I love that story.
Speaking of Cam Newton, after signing with the Patriots, he now has the third best odds at winning the NFL Comeback Player of the Year award. Can you guys who are not Mino and Ryan guess the top two? So, Cam, the third best odds of winning the Comeback Player of the Year award. Who are the top two?
Boy, that's a good one.
Who was hurt a lot last year?
Yeah, that's where you got to start.
Gronkowski?
Rob Gronkowski is number two. And
I
just to
Blake
put a little
answer.
More pressure on you guys, Mino and Monty both guessed it.
It's not Dez Bryant, I'll tell you that.
See,
that was one of my guesses.
Stuff. That was one of your guesses. And that's my pick.
Man, I'm stumped.
It is injury.
Maybe. It is injury.
Quarterback injury.
Eagles made the playoffs. You're going to have to help us out
and
here.
And it's bad news for the Browns.
Oh, Big Ben.
Ah, yes.
The number one odds to win the Comeback Player of the Year is Ben Roethlisberger. Or Rapelessberger, am I right, Jake?
Direct that at me.
So, thinking about Cam, who's a former MVP, and Mahomes, brought the scatter shooting staff down an NFL MVP rabbit hole. Looking at the NFL MVP award since 1960, there's been 59 years of NFL MVPs, only three winners were not a quarterback or a running back. I didn't allow Mino and Monty to guess because I didn't think they'd be able to get it. You guys might. 1971, defensive tackle Alan Page was the MVP. Vikings, the Purple People Eaters. 1986, the last non-QB RB MVP was Lawrence Taylor, linebacker for the Giants. And the most controversial MVP of them all.
I know this one.
1982's Mark Moseley, who was a place kicker.
That is a disgrace.
That was a strike year.
That was the strike-shortened 1982 year when he made 20 of 21 field goals. At the time, a record 95.2% success rate. Looking at Mark Moseley, he was drafted in the 14th round of the 1970 NFL draft by the Eagles. He was released by them, later released by the Oilers. Spent 2 years out of the NFL. He moved back to his hometown of Livingston, Texas, which is near Houston, where he installed septic systems for 2 years. Kept kicking, got his shot, and became a kicker for the Washington Redskins in 1974. With the retirement of Rick Danmeyer in 1982, Moseley became the only full-time, straight-on place kicker in the NFL. The toe puncher. And he's the last one as well.
That's so spare.
Do you think that'll come back?
No, I don't think guys making 20 field goals and winning an MVP or going back and forth between septic tank installation and the NFL, will either of those will ever come back.
Well, you think
the only way the straight-on kicker comes back is if you get another guy born with a half a foot like Tom Dempsey.
Right, just to have that advantage. So lucky. So you think of him kind of as an all-time great. He was an MVP, you know, kicker. His career field goal percentage... 65%.
Wow.
He made 300 out of 457, but he's a former NFL MVP. In the notable death department, the Hollywood Reporter announced June 16th that puppeteer Pat Brimer passed away. As a puppet builder, Brimer worked with ventriloquist Sherry Lewis on Lamb Chop's Play Along and with Trey Parker and Matt Stone's Team America World Police. But he is best remembered for bringing to life Bill Murray's pesky nemesis gopher in Caddyshack.
Wow.
Pat Brimer was 70.
Quite a resume. COVID?
Don't know. Probably. Let's just say it was. You get more money that way. Another notable death reported last week was that of 91-year-old Milton Glaser, an advertising agency account executive. So kind of a Mad Men type guy. After the city's fiscal crisis of 1975, New York was pushing tourism with a big ad buy and a new jingle. They asked Glaser to propose a logo. As the story goes, he came up with one in the back seat of a yellow cab. Four characters scribbled in red crayon on a torn envelope. I heart NY.
Wow.
A billion coffee mugs and t-shirts would follow. Because it was designed for the city that he loved in a campaign that seemed temporary, Glaser did it pro bono.
No.
Oh.
Got no money.
No.
Still had the idea, though.
Still had the idea.
Jeez.
This week's least competent criminal is 31-year-old Nicole George. On June 29th, a New Hampshire state police trooper pulled her over for driving 90 in a 50-mile-per-hour zone. After the stop, she went on her way. Only 13 minutes later, a second trooper clocked her doing 111 miles per hour in a 65-mile-per-hour zone. The first trooper responded to assist in the second traffic stop, and she was arrested for reckless operation. After her arrest, authorities found 40 grams of fentanyl and methamphetamine in her possession. They seized her Honda Pilot, and they suspect that that criminal activity was the reason for her going fast. But that's when you should drive slower, right?
Right. It's common.
Right.
Then unless you're all hopped up on meth. Then
she's going to have to call one of those billboards that Craig saw.
That's right.
In Colorado. And finally, three guys go to a ski lodge. There aren't enough rooms, so they have to share a bed. The next morning, the guy on the right wakes up and he says, I had this wild, vivid dream of getting a Hange. The guy on the left wakes up and, unbelievably, he said he had the exact same dream. The guy in the middle wakes up and he says, I dreamed I was skiing.
Yeah. A classic.
Thanks for hanging out with your old pal,
Dan McDowell,
for another edition of Friday Morning Scattershot. We'll see you next Friday, right here on Sports Radio.
Double black diamond
and 1310.
Full steam ahead. Working the.
Well, there you go.
Oh, that was
Craig.
Great.
I hope I did it justice.
That was really, really well done. And I'm glad you have an appreciation for how to format it and how much work it takes. And, you know, because George and Gordon do not appreciate how much work I put into it every week.
I've noticed that. They've been kind of pushing you around lately. And I'm not going to stand for it any longer.
They're trying to get the segment canceled, but I'm holding strong.
It is a cancel culture that we live in.
Did I ever tell you the story about how scatter shooting started?
No, go ahead.
It's probably 15. I guess I've been doing the segment at least 15 years. And it's back when he was still with us, of course, and Blackie Sherrod called me over to his house. And this is before he passed away. And he had done the scatter shooting column in the Morning News and the Times Herald, wherever he wrote, maybe even back at the old Fort Worth Press. And it was always the Sunday column, and it was his notes column. And it started, it was titled Some Hither, Others Yawn. And it started every week, scatter shooting while wondering whatever happened to. And then it was just lots of his observations and notes. And he usually had a joke in there somewhere. I don't know if he always ended it with a joke. I can't remember. But he called me over, and he took me downstairs into his dungeon slash study. And he tied me up. And he said, you're the only person that I believe can carry the torch with this scatter shooting column, but I want you to do it on your audio medium, your newfangled audio medium of radio. And he said, I want you to keep the tradition alive because I'm not long for this world. And I agreed, and he untied me and he let me go. And so I started to do the segment on Friday mornings called Friday Morning Scatter Shooting, since, of course, we're not on Sunday. So you did such a fine job that when I'm about to call it quits, and having spent more time in the Rocky Mountains lately, it's inching me closer and closer to that day as I see how beautiful life is up there. The day I do call it quits, I will call you over to my dungeon, Dan, and I will tie you up and I will put the ball gag in your
mouth.
Why does he have
to
tie him up? It doesn't seem like an extreme.
And I will explain to you the secret of a good scatter shooting, which you sound like you're very close to already acquiring anyway, because you did a great job there. And I will pass the torch to you.
Wow. It's like a radio will.
All right, Junior. We appreciate you.
You sound really fired up about getting the torch.
Well, you know.
He's reclined.
We'll talk to you on the worst day of the year.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
See you, Junes.
See you.
Don't jar. 235, this is a ticket.